I hope none of you ever know the panic of realizing that page 16 is missing. I went and got it so it'll make more sense. It was about 3 weeks ago that Kathy and I, accompanied by Sam, our golden retriever, finished our drive from Southern California. Now, it's been 17 years since I made that drive the last time. And yet, I have to say that once again, I was overwhelmed by the beauty of this country. We saw so much contrast between the stark, barren deserts between Los Angeles and the edges of Nevada. The majesty of the Rockies rose before us, and finally we drove into the green, fertile plains of the Midwest. Each one was beautiful in its own way. But it was about the third day of our trip, as we were moving from Utah into Colorado in the midst of the Rockies, we encountered some pretty significant mountain rainstorms. And while it made driving a little bit challenging, we witnessed some truly amazing rainbows. They were so beautiful in the midday sun that sometimes the arch of the rainbow had vibrant and clear colors in the sky. And there were other times when it was just soft and muted, pale and subtle. Hardly noticeable, but beautiful nonetheless. And I know from grade school and high school science class that it's a trick that the sun plays on the water, refracting it and causing it to vibrate into its different colors. There's always some scientific explanation for these things. But anyone who has ever seen a rainbow knows that its rarity and its beauty seems to indicate an omen or some incredible moment of blessing, a gift from the heavens. Now this morning our scripture lesson is the story of Noah and the flood, and actually right after the flood is finished. You'll remember that God saves Noah and his family and all kinds of creatures from death by flood, although the rest of the world is destroyed. God causes the flood, but God also realizes that it's an awful thing to do, that this should never, ever happen again. So God initiates a covenant with his people. "I will establish a covenant with you," God says, "never again." And as a sign, creates a gorgeous rainbow across the sky as a promise of peace. Now, as background to this, we need to remember that the bow was, at the time, the primary weapon with which to attack an enemy. And here God has laid aside his divine bow. Since God was seen as being enormous in size, this divine bow was large enough to cover the heavens. God was beyond all human imagining, so the bow included all the colors of the spectrum. But when God laid down his divine weapon, the sign was called a rainbow. Now, this was an imaginative interpretation, and it really lasted until scientists figured out how the rain refracts the sun to the colors present in a beam of light. But I got to thinking for a while that if this is how the Old Testament writers comprehended the power and the meaning of the rainbow, I guess they didn't do such a bad job. It's a beautiful natural event, and I can understand their desire to give it a spiritual meaning. Now, I chose this scripture for our time together this morning as we have covenanted with you as members of this church. And as Kathy and I share with you as our witnesses, the covenant of marriage. Covenant is something that's important to us here in the Congregational Church. The word covenant shows up a lot in our literature as it does in the Hebrew Scripture. There is the promise of peace in the Hebrew Scripture to Noah. The promise of land and a nation to Abraham and Sarah. The covenant of the law with Moses and the promise of the end of exile to the Israelites. Now we need to remember that initially the covenant was one exclusively between God and the people of Israel. The Almighty God chose one people above all others and gave them a promised land with divine permission to slay or enslave all the previous inhabitants. I got to thinking about that and I wonder what kind of God would do that? How could we worship such an unfair, such a violent God as this presents to us? I think if we look closely in the Hebrew Scripture, we'll see a more universal notion of God beginning to evolve. The prophets broke with the exclusive tradition as they began to insist that God was a God of all humanity, a God who demanded justice for all people. And this evolution reached its fruition in the Christian Scripture with Apostle Paul saying that in Christ there was no Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, neither male nor female. In all the stories of the covenant, we can see an emerging awareness of an intimate connection between God's life and our life. That's what's at the heart of the covenant promise. God says, I will be your God and you will be my people. What a wonderful statement that is, that we belong to God. And God belongs to us. We exist in this intimate covenant with God. God joins with all creation and all creatures for good rather than evil. Joins for life rather than death, for love rather than anger or violence. The story is told to us so that we realize that God is our ally, our intimate relation, redeemed from being our judge and our destroyer. God's intention for humanity is made abundantly clear after the flood. God's love includes life for everyone. Two-legged and four-legged ones, fish and birds and insects and creeping things and all other things you can imagine. Today we would say that God's love includes us all on the planet. All people, the God of life, covenants with all creation for life and for love and for peace. What a special time it is for Kathy and I as we covenant with all of you, our new church family. Throughout my career, I've enjoyed taking in new members, not only for the obvious reasons it makes the preacher look good, but also because it's a time of covenanting for everyone. Not only are we pledging our support for each other in our different ministries, but also we remember that we are all called to ministry and to life beyond these walls. Our covenant is to walk with each other in all these things. We come together here so that we can be sent forth in the world to live and to love and to proclaim God's promise of peace. Our work together is to put into practice the promises that God has made with us. And that we have made with each other. We are covenant partners of creation. We've got to love it and care for it and tread upon the earth with a gentleness and a respect. Together we work to make this world a better place. Now here in the church, when we are at our best, we make real the promise of God's intimate connection in the lives of people. We come here to try to make sense of those old, old stories and to pass on our living stories to each other and to our children. We come here to these kinds of places of worship hoping for an intimate connection. An intimate connection to God's love and an intimate connection with one another. We come together so that we can be sent forth into the world. Our work together is to put into practice the promises that God has made with us and that we've made with each other. The rainbow is a reminder of God's overwhelming and overarching love for the whole of the world, not just our part of it. And I got to thinking, how do we honor, how do we worship such a God? I think much of it is said in our covenant with one another. We honor God by growing in our faith, by reaching out with compassion to those who are in need, by learning to live together with love and understanding. I want to tell you how special a day this is as we share that covenant together. We will have a long and hopefully healthy ministry together in the years ahead. And I look forward to that with each of you. Amen.